From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, an appeals court sentences former First Lady Kim Gun-hee to 4 years in prison for various corruption offenses, up from the 1 year and 8 months handed down by the lower court. President Lee Jae-myung pledges efforts to resolve pending issues with traditional allies based on common sense. And a senior Pentagon official calls for the establishment of a space-based missile defense interceptor system to protect the U.S. from North Korean, Chinese, and Russian military threats. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. An appeals court has sentenced former First Lady Kim Gun-hee to 4 years in prison for various corruption offenses, up from the 1 year and 8 months handed down by the lower court. The Seoul High Court on Tuesday sentenced Kim to 4 years in prison and fined her 50 million won, or about $34,000, for violating the Capital Markets Act, the Political Funds Act, and the bribery laws. The court also ordered the confiscation of a graft diamond necklace and the forfeiture of about 20 million won. While the sentence is heavier than before, it falls far short of the 15 years sought by Special Counsel Min Jung-gi's team. The appellate court reversed Kim's earlier acquittal on stock manipulation charges related to Deutsche Motors, a BMW dealer in South Korea, ruling that she took part in price rigging in 2010. Amid rising concerns over diplomatic friction between Seoul and Washington, the president of South Korea has called for mutual respect. Speaking Tuesday during a meeting with his cabinet ministers, President Lee Jae-myung pledged efforts to resolve pending issues with traditional allies based on common sense. Yoon So-young has more.
네, 회의를 시작하겠습니다.
President Lee Jae-myung says he is seeking ways to resolve pending issues with the country's traditional allies based on common sense and mutual respect. As questions arise about possible discord with the U.S., the South Korean president addressed a cabinet meeting Tuesday and called for a foreign policy approach he described as strategic and pragmatic.
We must also, of course, further develop cooperation with our traditional allies. In particular, we need the wisdom to resolve pending issues and build healthy, future-oriented relationships based on common sense and principles grounded in mutual respect.
He never singled out Washington, but his remarks follow recent controversy surrounding Unification Minister Chung Dong-young, who is accused of leaking U.S. intelligence about a North Korean nuclear weapons facility in public speeches. After a series of media reports suggesting that the U.S. may have responded with steps to restrict intelligence sharing with South Korea, the two allies are also at odds over how to handle last year's massive personal information leak at the U.S.-incorporated e-commerce giant Coupang. On Tuesday, the ruling Democratic Party denounced a recent letter from 54 U.S. Republican lawmakers urging Seoul not to discriminate against Coupang and other U.S. firms. According to a ranking lawmaker within the ruling party, some 90 South Korean lawmakers are sending a response letter to the U.S. Embassy in Seoul, cautioning against interfering in South Korean domestic affairs. Yoon So-hyang, KBS World Radio News.
A senior Pentagon official has called for the establishment of a space-based missile defense interceptor system to protect the U.S. mainland from military threats posed by North Korea, China, and Russia. In a written response ahead of a Senate hearing on Monday, Assistant Secretary of War for Space Policy Mark Berkowitz said America's competitors have expanded and diversified their missile and air power and enhanced its intricacy. Berkowitz said the North has continuously reinforced its nuclear, missile, and air weapons and that its intercontinental ballistic missiles are capable of striking the U.S. mainland. The official also mentioned China's new ICBM that can carry nuclear and conventional warheads, its hypersonic glide vehicle, and Russia's advanced missile and integrated air missile defense capabilities. Berkowitz then stressed the need to build the Golden Dome missile shield proposed by President Donald Trump, estimated to cost $185 billion, to strengthen deterrence and protect Americans and the nation's core infrastructure. North Korea's use of the death penalty more than doubled after it closed its borders due to the COVID-19 pandemic, with a significant increase in the number of executions linked to the consumption or dissemination of foreign cultures such as South Korean dramas and music, according to a report released Tuesday. The Transitional Justice Working Group, a human rights organization in Seoul, released the data mapping 13 years of executions under the Kim Jong-un regime. Based on interviews with 880 North Korean-born citizens who had defected to South Korea, as well as media reports, the group said it documented at least 358 executions on at least 144 occasions between December 2011, when Kim became leader, and December 2024. Comparing the 5 years before and after January 30, 2020, when the North locked down its borders due to COVID-19, it found that the number of executions more than doubled from 30 to 65, while the number of death sentences more than tripled from 44 to 153. The report claimed that following the border closures, contact with South Korean and other foreign cultures, as well as religious or superstitious practices, emerged as the leading reasons for death sentences or executions, jumping from 7 to 38 people. Rates of obesity and vision issues among school-aged children and teenagers in South Korea increase in 2025. The Ministry of Education on Tuesday released the results of a health survey conducted from March to September last year on 92,620 students from elementary, middle, and high schools nationwide. It found that 58.25% of students wore glasses to correct vision abnormalities or at less than 20/30 vision in one eye, compared to 57.04% in 2024. According to the data, the higher the grade level, the higher the percentage of students with vision problems. Meanwhile, the proportion of students in the obese category, meaning those who were overweight and obese, stood at 29.7%, up 0.4 percentage points from the year prior. The government is expanding bus and subway service, with public transportation use on the rise since the introduction of driving restrictions to prevent an energy shortage in view of the ongoing war in the Middle East. 9 government agencies, including the Ministries of Transportation, Finance, and Labor, held a news conference on Tuesday and announced a package of measures to ease congestion on public transportation during rush hour. Every day in Seoul, there will be 4 additional bus trips on 196 city bus routes and 4 additional trips for subway trains on the section linking Cheongja and Shinsa stations on the Shinbundang line. Service will also increase for sections of lines number 2 and number 7 that see extreme crowding at rush hour and for express buses. For the next 6 months, holders of the K-Pass transportation card will be reimbursed for up to 80% of the fare at rush hour and up to 50% at other times. Cloudy skies are expected on Wednesday for most parts of the nation, with wide gaps between daytime and nighttime temperatures. According to the Korea Meteorological Administration on Tuesday, dry weather accompanied by strong winds is forecast Wednesday for the Chungcheong provinces, the inland areas of North Gyeongsang province, and the northern parts of North Jeolla province. Morning lows will range between 5 and 12 degrees Celsius, 3 to 5 degrees lower than Tuesday's readings, with daytime highs peaking between 15 and 21 degrees. Seoul will see the mercury drop to 8 degrees and then rise to 21 degrees in the afternoon. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Choi.